Hello and welcome to Pod 36 of the official Palace Pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on the official Palace app, YouTube, eagles.cpc.co.uk, and all of our social media channels. This week I'm recording the podcast pitch side at the training ground. It's a lovely sunny day before training. You might be able to hear birds tweeting, groundsmen mowing the lawn. So what is on this week's podcast? Well, as usual, we will end with Roy Hodgson's press conference. I'll be chatting to Statman over at Sellers Park. We've got a very short Luka Milivojevic interview with the Premier League. But to start things off, here is an interview I did back in, I think it was November last year, in Budapest, or Budapest, as I was taught to say while I was there. But my wife told me I'm not allowed to say Budapest because it sounds like I'm trying too hard. With Sandor Torghelli, who played for Crystal Palace for a couple of years, from 2004 to 2006. He signed very young from Hungary, fairly inexperienced. Things didn't entirely work out for him at Crystal Palace, and I thought it'd be very interesting to chat to him about the reasons why, because a lot of the time you see players that sign for clubs, come from abroad, come over, and it doesn't work out, but you don't realise what's going on behind the scenes in their lives or why they weren't ready for it. So we went over to chat to him about Gabor Kiraj on the little feature you might have seen that we made about him and his grey jogging bottoms. And we've got a feature about Sandor Torghelli, which is very nearly finished. We've been kind of working on it quietly for quite a while now. It's nearly a year, actually. So that will be going out soon. But I thought I'd give you the full audio of my chat with him next to the river in the centre of Budapest. Sandor, let's go back in time to before Crystal Palace. Like, where did you first start playing football?
When I was young, I was playing in Kispest Honvéd until 20 years old, and after I went to play MTK, where I am playing right now. So after 1 year, Lothar Matthäus was the coach of the national team, and I get a chance to play there. And in summer 2004, we played against Germany, and it was an excellent game for me. I could score 2 goals against them, and after I get the chance to play in Palace. So it was a short answer about me, what's happened before.
So you were about 22 when you came to Palace?
Yeah, 22.
So how did the club approach you? How did you find out they were interested?
Gabor Kiraj, he had the agent, and he showed some games of Gabor, and they watched the match of Germany, and Bob Dowie and Ion Dowie asked the agent, who is that guy? And something like this. So I was coming to Palace. And after that agent, who is coming from Sweden, he called my agent, who is Hungarian. They were talking about what we could do, what we have to do. And I get a contract of Palace. Because MTK didn't want to sell me, and Bob Dowie came to Budapest to talk with the owner, and something like that.
So at what point did you fly over to England to sign?
You know, Premier League and Palace, you know, is the name. What one Hungarian football player cannot say no. I had to go. It is if I would say no, I don't think so. I can the chance again to go to England to play in the Premier League. And the director say, okay, let's do it. to speak about my contract with Palace, and I talked with Ian Dowie. I was very happy. He was very positive. Said I can get a chance to play. It will be not easy, but I chose that one to go to Palace.
And what was it like for you going from living here, where you'd always lived in Budapest, and moving over to London at quite a young age?
It was very difficult. So, okay, you see, my English not the best. In that time, my English was worst. So I couldn't say anything in your language, in English. So it was very, very difficult. I was alone. Okay, the club was helping me about the apartment. So Sean Derry was playing there in that time. I could rent his apartment. It was very good for me. And but the rest, it was very, very difficult. I was very happy for that, because Kiraj was there, Gábor, because he knows already what is exactly the foreign football, because I was just playing here in Hungary, and to go outside, it's 22 years old football player is very, very difficult. And after the club helped me to find the English teacher, one Hungarian girl, and it was very good, and start to learn the English. Yeah, something like this happened.
So with your, how long did you feel positive for in England, or?
Everything was very, very quick, because middle of beginning of August or something like that, I was signing the contract. 1 week later, I was playing the first game in the Premier League, and after I went to national team, and it was very, very quick, very, very fast. And after the national team, I get injured, and it was not so positive things if one football player gets injured. And after, when I went back, I did the rehabilitation there in Palace. But the positive things was not coming to me, because you know, after the injury, I get the chance to play in the first 11 with Andrew Johnson together front of the team. But you know, I couldn't show exactly myself, because I was not ready for that. This is, I have to speak honestly, I have to say to the truth. In that year, I was not ready for that. And after, you know, I wanted to show my character, my football quality, but I couldn't show 100% what I am exactly.
Was there a lot of expectation? Because you cost quite a lot of money at the time. It was nearly £1 million, wasn't it?
First of all, I wanted to play in the first 11. Of course, I am striker. Everybody was waiting on me to score. And this not happened. I couldn't show my current after. Everybody was talking about me bad things. You know, the journalists, the fans. You know, I was not comfortable inside the changing room, because, you know, I am foreigner. I cannot play in the first 11, and sometimes I was not in the squad, so it was not easy for me. But if I could get a little bit more help from the teammates, from the coach, from the for everybody. I think I could do a little bit better what I did in Palace.
Do you think the problem with that team was that there were a lot of people in the same situation as you? Because we had the team that came up and then they bought lots of players, most from abroad, so there were lots of people going through the same thing.
Yeah, exactly the same. Was with Ventola, with Caviedes, and...
too many strikers as
Yeah, too many. Six, seven strikers it was in the squad and we played only with one, with Andrew Johnson. So I had to be already happy when I could be in the squad. So it was very, very difficult for me to play. And Dougie Friedman, Chip Early there in that year. So it was not easy. It was not easy situation in that year. You know, Crystal Palace in that year was fighting against to go to the second league. So the Bob Ian Dowie wanted to make the team who is more safe, I mean more defense, the tactic was like that, and after Andrew Johnson he could score 22 goals in that year. He was the best English striker, so I was no chance against him. This happened in that year in Palace.
And I want to find out, what were your first impressions of English footballers?
When I played in Hungary, what my character, what is my football character, I mean, it's very aggressive, one against one, it's very strong. Here in Hungary, I was better than the other players, but when I went to England, it was the minimum. Everybody did like that. So, and what I had to improve more. But the time what I was there, it was too short.
And what about the footballers' habits, like with showering? Didn't you mention that in your book? About the Palace players didn't shower before they had lunch.
Yeah. It was very funny for me because after the training, everybody went to the restaurant take the food without any shower, and Ori Gabor, the foreigner player, and me went to the changing room, take a shower, after went to the restaurant. And when I was arriving to the restaurant, the all people was already finished. Only Schipperli was there because he could eat more than the other one. He likes to eat. This is 100%. And it was very, very strange. It's very, very funny for me. But I had to learn. In England, this is. The way how they are eating.
Is there anything else funny about England that you found?
When we get a good result, we went out outside, a little bit drink to make a party. It was how much they could drink. This is, for me, it's amazing. I could not imagine how. I still cannot imagine how much they were drinking. So it was for me it's really surprise and funny, because if you are drinking a lot, you are totally different. You can show my real character if you are drinking. And for me it was good because I could know the player better than in the changing room.
Now let's talk about the League Cup game against Charlton. Quite an eventful game for you.
Yeah, it was a good game for me. I could score the goal. It was the one what I could score in the Palace. But after my goals, I get the red card directly because I was dying. So normally I am not that player who is doing something like this, but in that game I was trying, I don't know why, and I get directly the red card. No, not directly, the second yellow card, I mean, and get the red card. And after how much I had to pay for punish, this is also not good for me, because, you know, here in Hungary is, in that time, it was not the best salary for me. Yeah. And I went to Palas, I was happy, okay, better money, I can earn money to be more comfortable, more, everything could be better. But after, when I get the salary and I check it, oh, what's happened? And out.
Really?
Yeah.
What, like a week's wages?
Two.
Really?
Yeah,
for two. For diving?
Yeah. Ah, red card.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
red card, two. 2 weeks out. And after I was unhappy for that. Only one red card and I had to pay a lot of punish.
Did you not get the goal bonus?
No,
they didn't level it up.
No, I don't get the goal bonus.
Yeah.
If I would get, okay, I could be a little bit happier, but if I would have bonus in the rest time,
yeah.
I don't get a lot of money for that because I couldn't score a lot.
So who are your friends at Crystal Palace in that 1 year?
Gábor, absolutely. I still have a contact with him after we played together in the national team, and I have talking with him all the time. So what I was saying again to already to you, in that time he tried to help to me, because you know, not often happened to Hungarian people is playing in one Premier League team, and for me it was good. And Aki,
yeah,
and Kolka, Jonas Kolka,
yeah,
is good friend of me. And 1 year ago he was here in Budapest, and I talked with him, and
he was coaching in Estonia, wasn't he, recently?
No, he's doing some youth, not academic, I don't know what is the name exactly, but he's doing something, yeah, with the kids.
We saw Aki, we went to Helsinki and did a video with him.
Yeah.
He's doing well. Did you always think he'd be a businessman?
Yeah, he's. Yeah, I have checked him in Instagram.
Yeah.
He's working with the
Poyeko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing there something. I don't know what is exactly the position, but he's doing there something. And Popovic, I had a good contact with him. And yeah, but you know, because I am foreigner, I could find easier the talk the play with the players who is coming from foreigner too. So, but this is normal, I think, here in Hungary, everywhere where you are going to play football, if you're foreigner, you can find easier how you have to talk to the foreigner players.
And now moving to towards the end of the season, how did your time at Palace end?
It was not good. It was not good. After the relegated, I came home to holiday. And after, when I went back, everything was fine. I thought, okay, I'm going to play in the championship. For me, it's also good, because I wanted to play in England. And after, Bob Dovey called me and said, listen, Sandor, you have the other club, let's think about, and if you want to go, you can leave. And I said to him, okay, let's think about a little bit after I give you an answer. And the first answer was yes, but when I was when Bob Dowie picked up me to take to the airport to go to Athens, and we were middle of the way to the airport, and said to Bob Dowie, no, I don't want to go. No, I don't. Okay, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
And get out the car and pick up the car, pick up the taxi and go home. when I take off the car, when I was seeing the face of Bob Dowie, he was really, really shocked.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing? Why? Because he wanted, then I leave, because they had already the other strikers. They need my money.
Yeah.
And let's do it quicker away. And it's for Bob Dowie and I mean Palace, it's good if I leave to Athens. And after I change my mind, I pick up the taxi, go home. And after they called me, my agent, Bob Dowie called me, everybody called me, and I don't pick up the phone. I didn't want to speak with them. And the next day, okay, I went again to the training ground. I talked with him. I said, okay, maybe you want, then I leave the club, but this is my life. Don't push me. If I want to go, I go. Don't do it so aggressive. And after next day, I went to Athens, because when you feel, you know, the club and the coach and the manager doesn't want you, why you have to stay there? So I was, this is not good relationships if the guy who is next to you, he doesn't want you. And after, okay, I chose to go to Athens, to Panathinaikos, and after to loan. This is very important. And after 1 year, I went back to Palace to do the pre-season. But in that time, Bob Dowie and Ion Dowie was already not there. And after I went back again to Greece.
So how did you feel at that point? Did it affect your confidence as a footballer, or were you still, you knew you were confident in your ability?
That year, no, I was not comfortable. No, I was unhappy. If you are very unhappy, you're sad. You cannot play 100% good football. You cannot show your character. You cannot show your quality if you are very deep. This is like this. You cannot play football. And it was not good. Not good for me. What I was saying to you from Hungary and Hungary between Hungary and the English football is too big different. For me, it was very big step. And if I would go there,
go back in time and do it again.
Yeah, maybe.
Wait, what would you do? Would you have done anything differently, or was it just wrong place, wrong time?
Wrong place, wrong time. Yeah. Maybe 6 years later, when I'm getting older, if I could go back to play in Palace, maybe would be better. This is okay, not 100% because nobody knows what's happened, but I think it would be better if I a little bit I get older.
But you've had a fantastic career since. How long did it take you to get back into good form after you left Palace?
Yeah, 2 years. Mm. 2 years, because after when I went to Panathinaikos, it was again not, it was not the best choice for me, and this is already 2 years when you are not playing. It's not good for the football player, and after I had to work more, and then I could come out from that situation. So in that 2 year Palace and Panathinaikos, it was no good choice.
Let's talk about Gabor now. What do you think of the grey jogging bottoms?
It's funny, very very funny. But okay, when I see it first time, it was very funny. But you know, it was 20 years ago. But now this is for me normal. This is Gabor Kiraj. Everybody, if see the grey trousers, everybody, oh, this is Gabor Kiraj. This is no funny anymore. This is Gabor Kiraj. So it's for me is good, because if the player, if one player, if you are saying Gabor Kiraj, the first the good goalkeeper, and the second the great trousers. This is the two things. So for me, how he chose, this is good. This is Gabor Kiraj.
How much of a big personality is he in Hungary? Is he a big famous footballer in Hungary?
Yeah. He played the most national team games, and nobody played more than him. So if only that things I'm saying to you, and everybody know him. And 2 years ago, when Hungary played in the Euro Cup, he played excellent. He was 39 years old in that 2 years ago, and how he played, how he saved, how he did in the Euro Cup, it was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. These things show his character and his mentality. 39 years old goalkeeper could show the high quality in the
What did you think when you saw him doing when he's doing the no-look passes and kicking the ball the opposite way?
It's goalkeeper. So all goalkeeper is a little bit crazy. Okay, Kiraj is more crazy than the normally goalkeeper. And but he has lot of things like this.
The stretches as well.
Yeah, and when he's doing something like he throw the ball between the legs, yeah, like this, and he's doing many funny things. When he saves, excellent. When he's playing good, and he's doing a lot of funny things in the training, more than in the team, in the game. This is normally.
And finally, I just want to talk a little bit about Hungarian football. That team in the 50s completely changed the face of football. They were the dominant team for years with Puskás. How much were you aware of that growing up?
So in that time, you know, everybody was going outside of Hungary. Nobody wanted to stay here. And so there it was one break, you know, after the 80, middle of 80, we had again one good team with Détari, and everybody was waiting from them, then maybe they can do it the good result in the World Cup, but not happened. And after, in the football, you know, nobody wanted to help. Nobody wanted to help to football. But now, and 10 years ago, was starting again to help to the football, like sport. Because without any infrastructure, without beaches, stadium, without youth player, it's very difficult to do the good Hungarian football. But now it's better. Our prime minister likes a lot for the football, and we have to work a lot to be again good football team in Hungary.
Perfect. Thanks for that. That was great. Okay. So let's talk about the game against Norwich. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, it was the first game for me in Palace, in the Premier League. And I played good. And I could beat my opponent. I could, what Ion Dowi was waiting of me, I could show my character. And after I had the chance to score, and I shoot the head of the goalkeeper directly. And he had the cappy,
yeah,
on the head, and the cappy is going away, flying away. And in that situation, if this chance, maybe I could score anything. Maybe goes the better way, because if you are scoring the first game a goal, it's much better. But I shoot the head of the goalkeeper, and the cap is finished, going to the fence. It was really funny. After the game, in the changing room, we were talking about if I would be a little bit more calm, more easy, I didn't have to shoot with the power. Only easy shoot with inside your feet to the corner, and easy goal, but with power and without any brain, just shoot and shoot the goalkeeper. But if I'm seeing altogether that game, the first game, it was good for me in Palace. But after, many bad situations happened.
Sándor Torgeli there in Budapest. Next up, it is Luka Milivojevic, who visited Tweeddale Primary School in the Carshalton area with Vicente Guaita and Lucy Gillett from the Crystal Palace women team. They went and spoke in an assembly in front of all the kids, and then Luka popped upstairs and did a Q&A with a select few children who had questions for him, and then he sat down to do all his broadcast interviews for the week, including this one with Premier League Productions.
Luka, how stern has the manager been so far this week? He was quite disappointed after losing that point at the last minute.
Two points,
yeah.
Okay, he was, but we were as well very disappointed, because we think we deserve to get 3 points. You know, when you see, okay, we have to be honest and say that first half they play better than us and they had some chances, but second half is where we score straight and all the time we control the game. I can say I'm disappointed, because it was very easy game to deal with situation what was on the pitch. We had extra men. We keep everything under control, and just in last second, yeah, we give them to put the ball in the box, and they punished us from our mistake. But that's Premier League, you know. If you don't convert your chances, then you can be punished, and that's happened to us.
Two wins, two draws, two defeats so far to start the season. How difficult is it to be consistent in the Premier League?
Depends which team you are, you know, but it's not easy. It's not easy. Every single game is hard and different, and you don't have, like in other leagues, where you can already take 3 points before the game. In Premier League, that's impossible. And it's not easy, but at the moment, let's say that we are okay. I can say we are happy with the points, but when you see we could take easily 10 points at the moment, which was our aim, but we are where we are and we continue.
So what should Palace's aims be this season? How high can you look up the table?
I had that question before the season. Last season I said top 10, and in the end, you know, most of the time we fight for staying in the league. Last season, I can't say the aim, just I can say to be better than last season, and will not be easy because we took 50 points last season. If we can take again that points or even more, will be great for us.
Norwich up next. They impressed a lot of people with that win against Manchester City, and then they got brought crashing back down to earth against Burnley. They can be quite unpredictable. Does that make them more dangerous because you can't tell which way they're going to play?
You know, you beat City and then you lost against Burnley, and that happened to us last season many times. Every game is different. The opponents are different. The style of their games are different. But yeah, they are the team who loves to play, loves to build up from the back, love to play on possession. We know we're going to try to do our best, to use their weaknesses, to try to punish them. And in the end, the most important to win the match.
And the home form, though, has got to be pleasing. I think you've sort of unbeaten at Selhurst Park in the last 6 Premier League games. So that must be nice to know that you're at home for this game.
That's a big improvement from last season, where we didn't score many goals and even win games on our stadium. Yeah, that's good because of our fans. I hope we're going to continue with that. And as I said, to win the match on Saturday.
Luka Milivojevic there. And next up, we have the stat man, who last week I was in the posh seat. But where are we this week? I'm not the man they think I am at
home. Stat man.
Yes, that's right. We are at Selhurst Park. We are deep within Selhurst Park, aren't we, Statman, this week? Where are we?
We're in the heart of the club, the engine room, you could say. We're in the manager's office.
Yeah, it's Roy Hodgson's office on a match day. It's lovely. How did you lead me here?
I led you here by a game of WhatsApp hide and seek. For those that want to know, Chris said, pick a place in the stadium, we'll do it there, so to speak. Anyway, I sent back a picture, which got me... Yeah, anyway, look, I sent him a picture of one of the photographs in here, and I said, guess where I am? Now, the picture was of a young Jim Cannon next to Kenny Sansom celebrating a Division 2 title, I think it was. And it rattled you, didn't it?
It did for a bit. I thought, oh, I've seen that on the wall somewhere. Where is it? But I worked it out because I could see the amount of lights in the reflection, and there were only 4 spotlights. So I worked out it was a short room.
It's detector, inspective here, Chris Grierson, sorting it out. First to the crime scene. Yeah, I thought, see, it throws us because basically we're not really allowed in here.
No. Well, we're allowed in here now, I think. We're was helping to set up for a match day.
Of course we are. But it's one of those, like, you poke your head in here, but you don't really hang around. Like, even on when I give the tours on match days or non-match days, I don't know, it just has a bit of a aura about it. You've got a bit of respect for this room. The amount of people that have come through here. So, I mean, can I just picture the scene here for those?
I think we can picture the scene, yeah.
Yeah, let me picture it. So we are sat rather uncomfortably. We keep sort of moving around on this leather sofa, which is... You really sink into it, don't you?
Two leather sofas facing the TV.
Yeah. I'm just imagining Big Sam on this, and I'm not thinking there's much room for Little Sam.
No, Little Sam will be on his lap.
Yeah, I imagine so. I'm imagining Roy and Ray, much the same here.
Yeah. What do we got? We've got some, there's some Coleman's mustard, some HP sauce and some ketchup on the side.
No mayonnaise, so an interesting assortment of condiments, you could say. It's like guess through the keyhole, isn't it? What manager stays in a manager's room like this?
Is that non-alcoholic San Miguel in the fridge?
It is. That's a great spot.
Alongside alcoholic San Miguel.
These are very bizarre items we're coming across. We've also got a type of pineapple juice I've not seen before. It's called Sun Magic. 100% pure pineapple juice.
Yeah, but that's lovely. Next to a J2O.
It does. But that, sorry, just on Sun Magic. I'm not done on that, mate. It looks like a logo you'd make on Microsoft Word.
It does, doesn't it? That's dreadful.
I tell you what, there's four cartons of it, so...
They're probably our official pineapple partner, aren't they?
I think I probably need to speak to them and get them in.
We'll get a watermark on all the food-related videos.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many. Well, all your vegan-related food videos.
Oh, you're always banging on about me.
I am. My favourite subject.
Also, what I'm impressed with is the Copperberg in there. Strawberry and lime Copperberg.
Yeah.
Do we sell that in the stadium?
I'm not sure we do. It's not a flavour I go for. I didn't even know they did that. What is it? Did you say strawberry and lime?
Yeah. Top right.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I see. Yeah. Is that a normal flavour?
Yeah, yeah. You probably just asked for the red one.
I do, yeah.
Red Copperberg.
Red Copperberg.
Me thirsty.
Yeah.
Eagle red, eagle white.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm pleased with that. And Palace Ale, of course. What disappoints me, Guinness in a can.
Okay, has it not got a widget in it? Is that a thing?
No, what do you mean? Is that the one where
it's a thing in it, isn't it? Isn't there like a thing inside a can?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm remembering back to like a John Smith's advert, maybe from years ago. Send in your suggestions as to what I might be talking about. Stamp suggest envelope to BBC Television House.
I'm not sure anyone knows what you're talking about with these.
No,
questions.
No, forget about that. The Colonel beer. Very good beer, that.
The Colonel beer. Again,
Steve Brout loves that.
Is that... Sorry,
I'm bottom right, around the corner.
Having a look. Oh, yeah, Colonel spent K-E-R-N-E-L.
Yeah, it's a London brewery.
Oh, I like that. Well, if Steve Brout's picked it, it's going to be a fine beer, isn't it? A fine ale. But yeah, just a fairly interesting assortment of drinks. Looking around as well, what I'm disappointed about, again, and I'd like to think these aren't used... I'm looking at your coffee, I'm looking at your tea situation. Very much what you'd get in the concourses. Very much an all-in-one, add the hot water, there's your cup of coffee. And what I'm thinking, he's offering that to Pep Guardiola.
No, there's an espresso machine there too,
very
mate.
Much, Chris has pointed out an espresso machine next to it.
But if someone wants a tea, the tea bag's already in the cup.
Yeah, but I'm not wanting to serve that to Guardiola or Klopp.
He might like a hot chockey. See Pep? Yes. Hello.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do it. I don't know what's in the cupboards. I don't know if we should look.
Do you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to turn on the TV and see what the last channel was.
Yeah, okay, let's get it on.
If this is a dodgy one, then I think we'll very much have to edit over this.
Sony remotes. The Skybox is on. They've got a Skybox here.
Yeah.
Oh, Pardew always used to complain.
About
because
what?
When they had the Sky... channel linked up, it'd be the one that went around the concourses.
He used to change the channel.
Well, he complained that it would pop up with my face. It cut into the game that he was watching with me doing the team news. And then he sat me down in his office and told me how to do the team news better, more professional.
He hated you, didn't he?
Yeah.
I loved him. I've got so much time for him. Bring him back.
Yeah, I miss Pods.
He hated
him. Right, I love Roy, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
I love Roy.
Right, we're turning the Skybox on.
I'm thinking Sky Sports News.
Yeah, me too. Comedy Extra?
Comedy. We're currently watching Bob's Burgers.
On Comedy Extra.
On Comedy Extra. Next up, My Wife and Kids.
So this was what? So after that tense, horrible ending against Wolves, Comedy Extra.
He's come in here, and I can't blame him. He's come in here and he fancies a laugh. Jota's got that last. Was it Jota that scored last minute equaliser? And he's coming in and he's wanted to cheer himself up. I don't blame him.
But clearly someone else has been in here since.
We probably need that. I tell you what, there's a minute. I'm not even sure if we should be rummaging around here anymore.
No, let's not say what that is. Let's keep it mysterious as we open the cupboards. Oh, plenty of Sharpies for autographs.
Yeah, lots of Sharpies.
Tea pigs, good brand.
Yeah, I've not had that before. But
not had a tea pigs.
No. And just endless plastic cups.
Right, should we get on
to... Anyway, our manager's office door.
Right. We're 7 minutes in and right, all we've talked about...
What have we learned, everyone? What have we learned?
Anyway, listeners, I hope that's given you an idea of what it's like in the manager's room.
Yeah, but this is just... Before we move on, mate, what I like to think about this room, who's sat in here? Sir Alex Ferguson sat in here. They always go on about, oh, let's have a bottle of wine after the game. We'll, you know, share our thoughts, talk about the game. I just love that. I love that you and I currently are on that leather sofa that all of the top managers in the Premier League have been in. And Roy Hodgson being, for me, I mean, he comes across so well, one of the most polite, articulate, gentlemanly chaps of all time. I just think that you just can see him here with a glass of red, can't you?
Yeah, a glass of Eagle Red, which you can buy from the club shop.
I mean, who's the salesman here? You sell more on this pod than I do.
It's good. I had it at my wedding. It's very popular.
And can we just say, if someone from Sun Magic, 100% pure pineapple juice, is listening, please do get in touch. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities still available.
Actually, while you look at your stats, I'm just going to look at the... Because whenever it says one... Oh, from concentrate. Yeah, I just wanted to see.
Is that all right? Is it vegan enough for you?
No. It's just they always say pure pineapple juice from concentrate in very small writing.
No pineapples were harmed in the making of that pineapple juice, I'm sure.
No. We're fine. Right, football. Who are we playing?
We're playing the Canaries.
Whoop, tweet, tweet.
Battle of the Birds. Now, what I'd like, this is my idea. I'd love to see, and obviously we're a family club, can never do it. I'd love to see the real mascots go at it for once. Not the guys in the suits. Let's get in. I mean, I'm saying it this weekend because it wouldn't be much of a fight. An eagle versus a canary. But wouldn't you love that, Danny Ears? I'm trying to think now of a... Blades we might come unstuck against. Gunners we might get shot down. Red Devils, we might lose that one as well. Yeah,
I think an eagle. I actually googled eagle against wolf last week before Wolves, and I found some videos online of an eagle attacking a wolf. That was quite good.
And that's what Chris Grierson does in his spare time.
Seeing if it was worth putting out on the eagles.cbc.co.uk.
Who won?
The eagle did.
And from the wolf. Yeah, was it? Did the eagle win?
Eagle won, yeah. It was tearing it, yeah. Proper grabbing it.
Did you watch it fight to the death?
No, I think someone walked in and I put my emails up instead.
Quickly changed your screen. Great. Well, anyway, if anyone's got a spare canary, would like to bring it down to the game on Saturday.
Yeah, we will put it up against Kayleigh the Eagle.
We'll see who wins. Right, anyway, Norwich City, right. Let me stat you. Let's chat more stat. We'll start, firstly, I mean, there's a mixed bag here, and I tell you what I like when I get this through from Opta. When I get excited, I get a warm, fuzzy feeling. When I read a stat and I think, Chris Grierson's going to like this one.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I know what to stay away from. Anytime I say, ooh, their record in London, you just sabotage it and just bring it straight into disrepute, say, that is null and void, don't you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I won't be using that one. But let's kick it off. So, good little record Palace have got against Norwich. Last time we played them in the Prem was 2015-16, and we got the double over them. Mm. You were working here, you weren't?
I remember that, yeah. So I'm guessing the first one was the away game. Kabai scored. It was right at the start. It was like Kabai's first game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Damien Delaney scored. And somebody else.
Haven't looked it up.
Okay, yeah. Really, I think it was 3-1.
Yeah. And home game?
Home game, the same season, Jason Punch. No, that was way back before.
Oh, no.
No. I can't remember the home game. Your home game was Jason Punching outside the area. I was thinking the time before we played them in the Premier League was a punching penalty and a 1-0 win.
Now, here's a question for you. On the last pod, you said that you interviewed Ayew after he scored and cried against Wolves, and he was really cool. Oh, no, it didn't mean much to me. Punching, obviously, very, very clearly cried. You interviewed him after the game. Was he nice and emotional?
I can't remember.
No, okay. It was another classic Grierson interview from down the years that we all know well. the standard. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah. How was it out there? How was it for you?
Coming back from injury, you got your full 90 minutes in there.
Yeah. How do you feel? How are your legs?
Nothing on contentious challenges or penalty decisions.
Oh, no.
Oh, God forbid, no. But anyway, sorry. Norwich, so got the double of them last time. Now, Norwich, winless in the last 15 away here at Selhurst Park. They haven't beaten us since 1996.
Wow.
Which is great. But similarly, I told you that stat for us against Newcastle, similar years. We went and beat Newcastle, didn't we?
We did. Home.
So it's
Roy loves... Roy is not broken records, but you know what I mean.
You want to chat Roy? I'll chat Roy. Let's bring it back. Roy doesn't like playing against Norwich.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, he's lost his last two matches against Norwich in all competitions. Twice with West Brom. In 1 month alone, in January 2012, they knocked him out in the FA Cup and they beat him in the league. So he's not that great, but our record's okay. But whilst we're talking slightly negatively, let's go ominous. So Palace and Norwich have been in the Premier League together five times. Every single season, one of the teams has gone down.
Well, yeah, we used to go up and down, didn't we, together?
Oh, we did. Well, we kind of take it in turns, yeah, at least one. Well, we obviously just kept going down because we didn't stay up until recently. But, yeah, 92-93 season, 94-95, 04-05. What a relegation battle that was, by the way. I know we didn't come out on top, but...
Oh, yeah, that was close at the end, yeah.
Last game of the season, every single team had a moment where they were in that 17th position. And then out of nowhere, West Brom got it, didn't they?
Yeah, wasn't happy.
No. Anyway.
Blooming Charlton.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? You were there?
I watched it on a beamback at Selhurst Park.
Oh, nice.
So I was in the upper tier watching on the big screen.
Oh, nice. Tears at the end? Or talk me through that pain. I want to feel it with you.
Head in hands, yeah. Probably not tears. I'm a bit emotionless,
yeah,
as we found out last week.
Found out. You're looking better. You're not looking as dead inside.
I got home last week and thought, God, I was really miserable then. I've probably brought him down.
Hey, you got a smile on your face. You're back, Chris. It's nice to see you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Changing the subject slightly, I just had a random Uber journey over here
from William.
William, yeah, the Uber driver, and he said, "Oh, you don't recognise me because I've had my dreadlocks cut off." And I was like, "No, who are you?" He's like, "I'm Quadro's dad." I said. What, Quadro Bar? He said, yeah. Which is the ball boy. Remember the ball boy under Allardyce that put the ball out for the goal kick? He ran on the pitch and put the ball on the spot for West Ham keepers to try and hurry them up.
Yeah.
And then we did a video where we went to find out who he was. Turns out he's an academy player that did like somersaults and backflips. So I got him to do somersaults and backflips and it made it into all the papers. He ended up, he was 13 then, he ended up getting released. Yeah. But now he's just signed a 2-year scholarship at Rochdale.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. So he's not in the senior team yet? Wasn't part of the
no,
team?
No, but he's in and around. Like he's training with the first team, according to his dad.
So he wouldn't have played against Man U midweek?
No, but he was there for it. He travelled with...
Good for him. I'll tell you what would have been awesome in
weird
that story,
coincidence.
If you just jumped in that Uber and gone, Quadro's dad! I remember you!
The thing is, after that the video went out, you know, he just changed a little bit. He got a bit too... confident. And I said, what? So it's my fault that he got released? He's like, no. He needed that.
Those 12,000 YouTube hits were enough for him.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, anyway, you were late from the Uber anyway, so I suppose it was all that chat, was it?
No, it was before he got there, stuck in traffic.
Okay.
Anywho.
Right. Moving on. Let's go. I've told you the ominous stat. Let's go that Norwich poor form away from home in the Prem, lost 12 of 13 away Premier League matches.
Okay.
Scored only 3 goals in those 13 away Premier League matches as well. Not good. And let's go positive as well. So obviously last minute equaliser, gutting, wasn't it, on Sunday. It's funny how these things balance themselves out, don't they? We're all going on about Villa, 2 points, it'll come back to hurt us. Wasn't really a dodgy decision that did us, but just last minute couldn't hold on, wasn't it? It's annoying, but
one of those ones that feels really bad at the time, and then by Tuesday you're like, it's a point, we didn't lose.
I agree. If you tell us all beforehand, we'll draw 1-1 with Wolves. We'll think, yeah, we'll probably take that, won't we?
What's not fair is that Watford lose 8-0, and we draw. From a last minute goal, we play really well. We only get 1 point more than them. For losing that many goals, they should get docked points.
What?
Like you get minus one.
A disgrace ban.
Yeah, so if you lose by more than six goals, you get minus 1 point.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty painful losing all that goal difference.
That would encourage negative football.
Do you know what? It would, wouldn't it? It would, yeah. We want goals. Yeah,
I'll tell you that, but sorry, Watford. I mean, I don't mean sorry. No, never say sorry to Watford.
No, don't say sorry to Watford at all. What I will say, though, positively, we didn't lose. And it was another unbeaten game at home. And that's now five in a row at home unbeaten. If we avoid defeat tomorrow against Norwich, that'll be our longest ever run, equal at home unbeaten of six games. So
in the Premier League, really? Premier League, wow, that's good.
You don't think that, do you? But it's just because you will always come up against a big boy, won't you? Along the line, six games, you're normally going to get one tough one. And straight away after this one, who have we got? I think it's Man City next at home, isn't it?
Yes, I think you're right.
So, yeah.
He's got it as his background on his phone is the fixture list.
How smooth was that, Chris? Well, let me just check my
phone. I bet it doesn't have the change time on that one, though, does it?
No, I don't know.
No, but yeah, it is Man City next.
This is odd. Why I do that, Chris, I hear you ask. My life revolves around Palace.
Yeah,
yours
mine too. I need to get that.
And if someone asks you, what are you up to on Saturday, 19th of October? Do you fancy doing something? I go, no, I've got Manchester City at home. Well, not me personally.
I've now got friends and they message saying, oh, are you free? Not are you free? They say, fancy doing something this weekend. I've noticed Palace are playing on the Sunday or Palace are away that weekend.
Now that's a good friend, isn't it, Chris? Mm. That's a friend indeed. Yeah, working around your schedule. They're the friends you want. Well done, Chris Christensen's friends. Anyway, we sidetracked, don't we? Man City, so is the home game after this. So let's hopefully at least equal that home unbeaten run. Wouldn't it be nice? Let's get the warnings out there. I want to talk to you about a little lad called Pookie.
Yeah, Pookie Party.
Pookie Party. Are we going to ruin his party? I very much hope so, but he is in scintillating form, isn't he? He's one of those. Now, I don't play fancy football, and we found out you're very boring too and make a team and then don't change it and then get very miserable about it.
Didn't even make one this year.
Emotionless. Yeah, I'm not surprised, mate.
Couldn't be bothered.
Fun. I don't want to get involved in that. Yeah. Sign me out. Pookie must be the man that everyone wishes they had in their team. Again, I don't play fantasy football, but I imagine he would have been cheap. Any of those?
Yeah, it must have been cheap. Players. I reckon he'll fade, though.
Well,
I reckon he's the new Michu.
Michu.
Remember Swansea? Came wow, incredible. Where did he go? What happened?
Michu, if you're listening, let's hear. Where did he go?
I haven't looked this up. He could have gone on anywhere and
imagine
done really
if he's
well.
He's like smashing it. Yeah. Smashing it in the French League or something. Yeah. Let's look that up. Sorry, we'll look that one up. But no, I know you can fade away, can't you? But I just can't see it. He looks another level. I think the only way he'll fade away is I think he'll get a move, don't you? I mean, the way he started. Here are some of the stats to back it up. He scored six Premier League goals already. He's picked up two assists as well. So all in all, he's been involved in 89% of Norwich's Premier League goals. So if I'm reading that. And Roy Hodgson, lovely guy. I don't think he's going to be as candid or as ruthless as this. I'm telling someone, kick that man early doors. I know it's like simple. Get a kick in.
Disgusting.
Joel Ward, if you're listening, do what we need you to.
You can't say that as an employee of the club, but I guess you've got an anonymous name. So no one knows who you are. I cannot condone such behaviour. We're Crystal Palace. We play fair.
We. Okay, what an opinion there. Straight down the line, Chris Grierson. Like I said, as I'm anonymous, I'm telling you, Joel Ward, get stuck in, mate. Let's do this. Take him out the game.
No thoughts my own. Play fair.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Can I just on Joel Ward? I've just remembered this. I've got a little story about Joel Ward. I'd love to say. Not that he's going to listen to this podcast, but I wonder if he'd remember this. So I've got a mate who lives in Putney. And Joel Ward, I don't know if he still does, but certainly was living in Putney at the time. And he lives in the same block of flats as him. Now, my mate, called Ed, is very, very excitable football fan. You know, one of those guys who they never get out of that like 12, 13-year-old body, you know. Like,
still does sticker albums.
I was literally about to say, I bet he does. I bet he does. Maybe Big Heads all around the room, you know. What happened to Big Heads? Are they still going?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, good. Well, yeah. Well, I'll ask Ed anyway. But one of those guys, I love it because he's more enthusiastic about football than I am. And I think that's brilliant. Anyway, he doesn't even support Palace. Man U fan, we'll forgive him for that. Anyway, he's...
We won't. Where's he from?
China. China, really? Yeah.
Yeah, we don't forgive him.
No, don't forgive him. Okay, well, yeah. All right. Well, we don't forgive you anyway, Ed. Chris doesn't forgive you. But anyway.
Not because he's Chinese, but because he supports Man United. I just like to say that. He should be supporting his local team. There's a great league out there now.
Can you imagine if you're being as neutral as that and you come up with something slanderous? No, exactly. Well, he probably should, shouldn't he? If he's in Putney, then he should support the team you support. Living in Richmond, then.
But AFC Wimbledon. Mice. AFC Wimbledon down the road.
I suppose they are closer than Fulham.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, anyway, we digress. Let me get this Joel Ward story
longer
out.
Than last week.
I know. I'll wrap up soon. Anyway, Ed's in the lift, okay? Now he spotted Joel Ward for the first time. Now this is random Monday or Tuesday morning. Joel's in his training gear. He spotted him. He gets in the lift. Joel Ward and Ed are in the lift. Now, Ed realises they're on the fifth floor, probably got what, down to ground floor, he probably got about 20 seconds tops, really, of chat. Mm. He wants to hit it off. Now, he's unfortunately let the occasion get to him. His words have got muddled and he's struggling for something to say. Now, he's remembered, quite incredibly, he's got the same wedding videographer as Joel Ward. He was on his wedding videographer's site and saw Joel's video. Very nice. So all he does, he spits out, doesn't even say hi, doesn't say anything, just goes, we've got the same videographer. I liked it, mate. I like your wedding video. What do you say to that? What do you say, Chris? You're looking at me blank.
No, I'm trying to think, what would Joel Ward say to that?
He just said thanks.
Thanks.
Anyway, ding. Doors open. He steps out. Ed realises the conversation hasn't gone great. Stays in the lift. As if there's another floor to go to. There's no basement. It could only be in the ground floor he's looking to get to. Steps out. And he, realising that this has not been left on good terms, he says, you going to training, Joel? I mean, Joel's in his full kit. Crystal Palace kit. He's clearly going to training. What does Joel say to that?
Yes.
And that was that. That was the end of the conversation. Joel's not seen Ed, I don't think, Sid. Or is certainly...
I don't think he lives in Putney anymore.
And is this the reason why?
Sure, yeah. It must have been. I'm sure it was around that time.
Joel, if you're listening, there's a crazy Chinese Man United fan that's getting under your skin.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Ed. Let me just put it out there. He's Ed and he's a good man. He's just very nervous.
And he's got good taste in videographers.
He's got very good taste in videographers. Anyway, we completely digress. Shall I end this now?
We're on 24 minutes.
This is ludicrous. Have you got much on the show this week?
Yeah, we've got a really long Sandor Torghelli interview.
Fantastic.
I see you've got Dan Blundell written there.
Always catch.
Former employee of Crystal Palace Football Club.
Former. What a man. Don't we miss him. So Dan's pumped a few figures and stats my way. Number one, just to look out for, red cards. Third game we just had in a row that we've ended up playing against 10 men.
At home. And all second yellow cards.
And all Wilfried Zaha.
I think all but one. I think another one. Schneiderlin was on someone else. Was it Luca?
Yeah, but didn't he pick up? Wasn't the first one Wilf?
Possibly.
I think Wilf's been heavily involved anyway. Let's give that to Wilf.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one just to look out for. If we get a fourth in a row, blimey, we need to start looking that up because that's mental. Mm. But let's look at this. There's a few ifs. If we get a clean sheet, it would be a big one. And I'm sure, hopefully, you're ready to go with your social media with this.
Oh, well, yeah, we are now.
Don't you look at this stat and pretend. This is your job.
Let me go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. That's 100th clean sheet?
100th clean sheet in the Premier League. Well done, Chris Grierson, doing his job effectively. And we've had the other stat I was going to say, which is if we avoid a defeat, it'll be our longest ever sequence of home unbeaten games.
Wow. Fantastic. Is that it?
That's me done.
Congratulations. Well, that was a very entertaining one today. I hope you enjoy some Sun Magic 100% pure pineapple juice from Concentrate.
Whilst I watch Comedy Extra, I think I will. It's my wife and kids now. Chris, quickly, end the pod.
Well, you do that. I'll go back to me. Statman, entertaining as always there. And to finish things off, very nicely. Here is Mr. Roy Hodgson talking to the world's media. Let's see if there are any different questions.
He's trained this week, yeah. Connor's back fit again. I mean, he's been training all week, so that's good.
Do you think we'll see him involved this weekend?
No.
Is there any other team news?
He needs to play. I mean, the thing about Connor Wickham is that he hasn't been able yet to string any run of games together. In fact, he's hardly played at all, I think. So the important thing now is over the injury, and he's trained this week. We have some games coming up where he can, you know, prove not only his actual physical fitness, but the fact that he's match fit as well. And when he's done that, he'll come into consideration, of course.
And any other team news ahead of the
match game? We have probably with Mamadou Sakho. He's feeling a slight strain, so we don't know as yet whether he will recover in time to play, but we'll know that after tomorrow morning.
And understandably, you were disappointed last weekend. How have the team responded in training this week?
Yeah, very well. I mean, the fact is those disappointments are part and parcel of football, of course, but they are cruel blows to get within, you know, 10, 15 seconds of what would have been a very good victory, and then to really, through our own devices, throw that victory away and come away with only 1 point, rather than the three we thought that our second half performance deserved. That's tough, there's no doubt about that, and it's a painful process that you have to go through. It's like a sort of a grieving process in some ways. But by the time Tuesday came around, we were all back and bouncing and looking forward to the next game and hopefully getting the chance to get those points back against Norwich tomorrow.
And Christian Benteke missed a late opportunity. How's his confidence been this week? And what have you been doing to build him back up?
We can do no more than we've been doing for a long period of time, because unfortunately his confidence hasn't been at the highest level for a long period of time, because of course he hasn't scored the goals that he wants to score and the club want him to score, and there's no way that you can put any other spin on that. It's a simple fact of life, but we work very hard with him to make certain that he realises that there's other aspects of his game that we appreciate and that we still want him to give us every time he plays, and we try and encourage him to keep getting into goal scoring positions and to keep looking to get his shots away, because we believe that for all strikers, you know, there'll be a moment when it turns for them. But again, there's no magic words or no magic solution to that. You know, we can't change the fact that over the last 2 years since I've been at the club, his goal scoring record has been very, very poor. And it's not because he doesn't try hard enough, and it's not because he doesn't want to score goals badly enough. It's got nothing to do with that. It just is a rut, I suppose, to some extent, that he finds himself in. And we're working hard with him on the training field to try and help him to get out of it.
And how's he looked in training? Is it a case of just persisting with him?
Is it what?
Is it a case of persisting with him?
Well, we don't have too much choice, do we? I mean, the fact is, if we had six or seven forwards, then I suppose it might be quite tough for him, you know, because he might be seeing one or two people pass him in the pecking order, because, you know, obviously he doesn't attempt to deny, and we cannot deny, that we need goals in our team, and he hasn't been able to provide them. But at the moment, it's only him and Jordan Ayew, so we don't have an awful lot of options.
And you say you need goals, four goals scored this season. How much of a concern is it?
Well, it's a damn sight more than we had after seven games in my first season. We didn't have any. So, I mean, we're on the right track, I suppose. 4-6 is better than none in seven. But we'd like to score more. But we've not been a prolific goal-scoring team in these 2 years. And everybody who watches us play regularly and knows the club well enough understands that that's because, in actual fact, apart from a brief period when we had Batshuayi on loan, we haven't really had someone who's a renowned goal scorer in the team. And it's something which I'm sure we're all looking to put right at some stage at the earliest opportunity. But at the moment, it's not going to be easy to do that, and we're going to have to work hard for our goals as a team. And in the meantime, we've got to work even harder to make certain that we don't give ourselves the task of having to score a lot of goals, because we're conceding so many. You know, we conceded four against Tottenham in one game, but we haven't conceded many in the other five games.
And Palace's home form was something that came under criticism last season. This season, well, we're now 6 games unbeaten. That run stretches back to last season. What's been the difference, do you think, at Selhurst Park?
Well, we can't ask for more support than we get from our supporters. That's been good all the way through. So you can't put it down to any extra support we're getting, because that's been good right the way through. And even when we weren't winning here, the support was still very, very good. I just put it down really to the hazards of football again. You know, we haven't changed our style in any way. We haven't changed our approach radically to the games. You know, we've always had that simple approach that it's a home game. We've got the crowd behind us, you know, we've got to take the responsibility and take the games to the opposition. And we've got to try and maximise our opportunities. And luckily, pardon me, at the end of last season and at the start of this season, it's given us a few points.
And in contrast to that, it's Norwich next. They're on a bad run of form away from home. They haven't picked up a single point yet away from Carrow Road. A growing injury list, but what are you expecting tomorrow?
I expected to play against a very good team. We've been studying them this week, as we always do, in order to help prepare our players in the best possible way. And I must say that all the information that we, the coaching staff, have been given from the people who compile the videos, the work that the people who present the videos for me have done in making certain that the players are under no illusions as to what they face tomorrow. Unfortunately, I'd like to think that I could sort of go along with you and say it won't be a tough game because they're not very good, but I've got to say the exact opposite. I think they are very, very good. I think they play some extremely good football, and I think obviously the fact that they lost 4-0 in Liverpool in the first game of the season, I remember watching that on the television and thinking, actually this is a very good team. You know, you must be absolutely amazed to have come away having lost 4-0, having played as well as that. And I'm pretty certain that, you know, the win against Manchester City tells you everything you need to know about them. So I would rather be playing against another team than Norwich, a team that I feared a bit less. But this is the fixture that's in front of me, so we'll get on with it and do our best to beat them, despite the fact that I think they're a very good team and I expect them to be very good tomorrow.
And just lastly from me, Teemu Pukki is obviously someone to fear. 6 goals from him this season. How will you go about nullifying him this weekend?
It's a team game. You don't nullify him by hoping that one individual on our team will nullify him as an individual on the other team. You make certain that you try and deny him the passes that he'll need to score the goals, and that our players who will be in the area around which he plays are very much aware of how he plays, what type of runs he makes and what he's looking to do, so that they're not going to be caught on the hop, as it were, by not realising what he's capable of.
Okay. Thank you. James?
Hi, Roy. James from the Premier League. I went to the open training session the other day and I noticed that Wilf trained for the first few minutes and then went back inside and then we were to turn the cameras off. I just wanted to check, is he all right?
He had a nasty kick on his foot, on the top of his foot from the game against Wolves. But he wanted to come out and, you know, take part as best he could in the early part. But there was no chance of him actually taking part in the kicking part of the session because that bruise on the top of his foot had to settle down.
But that's fine for the weekend, he should be.
Yeah, yes, it's been good all week to be honest. I forgot, you know, so much so that I'd forgotten all about it, you know, I didn't.
There's a lot of players to keep track of. Obviously, it was quite a sour note.
Not that many.
It was quite a sour note, wasn't it, to end last weekend on? Has it sort of been itchy to try and get this weekend coming back?
I wouldn't say that, but it certainly was a sour note, and it's, you know, you have sour notes in football. You have very sweet ones too. You know when we beat Aston Villa, and you know what looked as though it could have been an equalising goal is chalked off because the referee has seen an offence. You know, has seen a situation where he's seen Grealish dive and gives us a free kick. That's a very sweet moment because for a few seconds you're looking down at the situation that we eventually looked down on a week or two later. That's all part and parcel of it. And there's no way you can wrap it up in any other way than to make certain the players realise that this is something which was avoidable and that we shouldn't have found ourselves in that situation. But you're preaching to the converted because they know that as well as I do. They know with hindsight, all the things that could have been done to prevent it. But of course, that's the case in every football match that's played. You know, there's never a goal scored against your team that you don't think in some way could have been prevented somewhere along the line. Often you might have to go quite a few moves back, but there's somewhere along the line you could think we could have dealt with this better. But then there are the more flagrant situations, like the one where we don't manage that last 5 or 6 minutes in the way that we should have done, and then you get punished for it, and the punishment is particularly harsh because you know that A, it's cost you very dearly, and B, it's something which you shouldn't really have allowed to happen.
Barring maybe Manchester City and Liverpool, I think we're seeing so many teams win one game and then either, you know, draw or lose the next. Are we seeing this season in particular just how difficult it is to be consistent in the Premier League?
Yes, I mean, obviously if we're very disappointed about the loss of those 2 points, but actually if you could guarantee me that when the season ends after 38 games we'll be level on points with Tottenham Hotspur, Chelsea and Arsenal and Manchester United, I think I'd probably be quite happy. But that's not going to happen, is it? You know, the season is going to change enormously along the way, and cream rises to the top, of course, and most people in football will expect those teams that we regard as our top six to gravitate towards the top six, and those of us who can only dream at the moment of being top six, we'll have to do our level best to sort of cling on their shirt tails.
Thank you.
Right, and George from PA. I just wanted to ask you about Teemu Pukki, because I know you didn't manage him when you was a Finland manager. But
he was too young, I think.
Yeah, he was quite an exciting player though when he was really
young. I think I remember him coming through, I think. I think he'd only been about 16 or 17. I mean, I left there in 2008. 2007 to be exact, at the very end of 2007. I went to Fulham in January 1st, 2008. So that's what, 12 years ago? Now I don't know how old he is now, but he would have been pretty young.
I think he made his Finland debut a year after that.
Did he? Oh, yeah, there you go. But I remember he'd already broken through, I think, and was playing in that HJK Helsinki team that I used to watch, of course, when scouting for the team, but then I lost track, to be fair. I mean, I knew that he was a major Finnish talent and one they really believed in, but then I lost track a little bit of his career. But when he turned up again at Norwich a couple of years ago now, I remembered his name, and I remembered that he'd been a very promising player. But I must say that he's obviously worked very hard at his game, and to become the player he is today, especially after one or two setbacks, after such a brilliant start, speaks volumes about his character and the type of person he is. But then the Finnish people are good characters. I mean, I've got to say, I don't have a bad word to say about anything regarding Finland, vis-a-vis the nature and the geography of the country and the people who live there.
Okay. Stanley, did you want a question?
Roy Lippe, I just wanted to know a little bit more on your thoughts about Jeffrey Schlupp. He's one of those players who normally, even to us in the press, give interviews. But what sort of a player is he as an individual and as a footballer, and how important is he to this team?
Yeah, we missed him when we missed him for quite a long period at the end of last season when he was injured, and I think we missed him. I think he's a very, very important player. I think he's one of those underrated players. You know, because he's not spectacular, he can be. You know, when he gets on a run with the ball, he's very strong. He's a good runner with the ball, a good striker with the ball. But a lot of the work he does, which is so valuable for the team, will perhaps pass unnoticed, especially when you've got Wilf on the other side of the field, who does so many things which are so easy to notice as being, you know, spectacular. But we're really pleased with him. He's a very good professional. He works very hard. He recovers quickly from injury, which is fortunate because he's hasn't been blessed with a lot of luck. So sometimes during my time here, he has missed quite a lot of football through injury, but he's always come back quickly from it. And we're very happy at the moment that he's in a really good vein of form, and we're hoping that he's going to be able to keep that going and to remain free of injury during the rest of the season, because I think the more games he plays and the longer the run of games he plays, the better he will become.